You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Charles Twyman, who is with us this morning, he's sitting in the balcony. We thank God for him and his unfailing leadership. His example that he has shown towards for us, that we might be an example to you. A lot of the things that I do in ministry, I do because I mimic what he's already done. And he showed the pattern and showed the way that we should be able to do and conduct ourselves as ministers of the gospel. And I don't take that lightly, and I hope you don't either. It's been a fine example. So thank you, Pastor Twyman. Thank you for being in our presence today as well. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to look at a passage in Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter. We're going to read in your hearing the first eight verses. And it reads, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Verse 5, "And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least amongst the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.'" From this text, I would like to take for a thought this morning, take me to the king. Take me to the king. Matthew's gospel is unique from the other four gospels in the fact that it presents Jesus Christ as king. Matthew puts a heavy emphasis on not only the kingdom, but the king. Because as you know, that you cannot have a kingdom without a king. He focuses on Jesus as being king. Understand this, that Jesus is the King of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. And he has that title because his work in creation. He created the universe. He created the world. He created this world that he might populate it with people and that he might come and serve as a king, that he might give them the message of the kingdom. Our whole goal and focus in this life is to get to the kingdom. And who best to tell us how to get to the kingdom than the king himself? And so therefore we must go to the king if we really want to know how to get into the kingdom. But I'm surprised at how many people nowadays are trying to get to the kingdom without even going through the king. There's only one entrance way into the kingdom, and that is through the king. And so my Matthew puts a focus and an emphasis on the King. King Jesus. He is the King of glory. He is the King, and he reserves the right to do whatever he wants to in this world. Why? Because he is sovereign in the earth. He is the King. Did you not know that there's no higher ranking in the kingdom than the King? The King makes the rules. The King sets the agenda for the kingdom. And if he's going to be king in your life, then he should be setting the rules for your life. Yes, he is the King. Countless times Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. But his kingdom will be established in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And because he lives inside of us as believers, he dictates how we're to live this life. He tells us how we're to live and to conduct ourselves. Why? Because he is the King. The problem I see is that most folk want the kingdom without the King. Most folks want the benefits of the kingdom without even obeying the King and answering to the King. And so we must say, take me to the King if we want to be a part of the kingdom. This here is a Christmas message. However, this is not the nativity scene that we see displayed. These wise men have come to the King of Israel, which is Herod the Great. They come asking a question. They come asking, where is he that was born King of the Jews? Now, this is quite interesting, because in my research, I found that I've not found anyone that was ever born a king. Usually, if you're born into a royal family, you're born heir to the throne. But here we see that Jesus was born a king, which implies that his existence was before even his incarnation. So before Jesus even showed up on the scene, he existed as king over the kingdom of God. This deifies Jesus. This tells you that Jesus is God all by himself, because he came in this world as a king. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest man born of a woman other than himself, he said he came preaching the kingdom of God. And by his own testimony, he said that I am not that light. I'm not the Messiah. I am not the Christ. He said, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes. So Jesus is king. And he is the one that sets the rules. So he goes, he said, where is this one that was born King of the Jews? Well, King Herod had a problem with this, as he should have, because King Herod was a wicked man. He was wicked to the core. King Herod had one of his wives killed and two of his sons that he thought may be a threat to his kingdom. And so now these magi, these wise men that have come from a great distance to inquire about the King of the Jews, which really got next to me a little bit, because these fellows came all the way from Persia, some 800-900 miles, seeking the King. And they came to the place where they believed that they should be able to get an answer to what they were looking for. They came to the epicenter of Jewish worship, which was Jerusalem, asking and inquiring about the King of the Jews. I mean, if anybody should have known, it should have been them. But lo and behold, here we find the King who was so into self so lifted up in pride, so steeped in sin, finds himself threatened by this baby king, this infant king. Well, when we look at the kingdom of this world, we look at the great conquest of this world, the kings. Most kingdoms were built through enormous bloodshed. Just like King Herod, the kings of this world got their kingdom and got their wealth by taking it, by shedding blood, by shedding innocent blood. So a whole lot of innocent blood was shed to uplift just one man. But Jesus, in contrast, shed his only blood that all of us might live and have eternal life. Jesus built his kingdom through love. He built his kingdom through his faithfulness to us, his love and his compassion towards us. And so therefore, we all should be willing to give our lives for the kingdom of God and for the king. Why? Because the king gave his life for us. So King Herod called the Jewish leaders, the scribes, and asked them, where is this king to be born? And they went back and they quoted Micah and said that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. I understand Bethlehem was just a little small run through town. There was nothing extravagant about Bethlehem. This is where that Jesus differs from the kings of this world. It's because Jesus did not come into this world with a whole lot of fanfare. Jesus didn't come in this world born in a palace. As a matter of fact, Luke's gospel said that he was born in a little stable outside of town in Bethlehem, because they had no room for him in the inn. He was born in humble beginnings. As a matter of fact, they didn't even have a bed to lay Jesus in. The Bible said that when he was born, that Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The word for swaddling is actually band-aids. Was a representation of his coming death. So Jesus came into this world as king, but he also came into this world as a redeemer. He came into this world to give his life a ransom. He had you and I in mind when he came into the world, when he was born. So even with this not being the Christmas story in Luke, this is still a celebration of the birth of the Christ. These wise men have come from far, from the east, with the purpose of worshiping him. And understand this, all of us should come into the presence of God only to worship him, to worship him in spirit and in truth, to give God glory. There's not much that we can give God but ourselves. Giving back all the gifts that he's given to us. Yeah, we spend so much time trying to buy the perfect gift for each other. Spend so much time, spend so much money, so much energy. And most times, folk don't really like what you got them, no way. They'll be kind and smile. And especially me, I'm not a big shopper. I go in the store and buy the first thing I see. Don't do much shopping around. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She'll tell you how many things she had to take back. But here it is. God has given us the perfect gift in Jesus Christ, the perfect gift that keeps on giving to us. Every day of our lives, he keeps giving to us. But the question that comes is, what are we giving back to him? Listen here, these men were not even of the Commonwealth of Israel. These were Gentiles. They weren't even Jewish people, but they came looking for the King of the Jews, that they might worship him. And understand that there's sometimes that there'll be a worship in some folk that you will not even expect. Because even the trees worship God. Creation, all of God's creation worships him. We're the only ones that have to be prodded and cheerleaded to worship God. Every Sunday, it seems like sometimes we have to get up here and remind you of how God really been to you. I don't really need you to remind me how good God has been to me. I was there. I know what I came through. I know what I was up against. I know how God brought me out and brought me through. So therefore, I don't have a reason. I don't need a reason. I don't need your help to praise God or to worship God. But I'm just here to remind you of God's goodness to you. I'm just here to remind you of how faithful God has been to you. In hopes it might spark something in you, that you might come into his presence and worship him. If these godless Gentile men can come and worship God, what is our problem? And here's the other thing. We're on the other side of the cross. They had not seen the cross yet. They were looking for the cross, but we're on the other side of Christ. We know what Christ has done for us. We know how good God has been to us. And so he meets privately. Herod meets privately with these wise men. He goes to him. He meets with him. He said, when did you see the star? Understand that Satan is very calculating. Satan knows how to look ahead. And so it's not really Herod the king, but it's those evil forces that are working within him. And understand that Herod must still be given account for his life, and he will. But the Bible is clear that he dies. After committing some atrocities, he gets killed. Herod knew his time was limited. He knew that this king was coming. And so he tells them, go to Bethlehem. He tells them exactly where the king is. He said, go to Bethlehem and search out the child diligently. But when you find him, return to me and let me know that I might come and worship him. Well, we know that that's a lie. Because the Spirit of God speaks to these wise men and let them know that no, don't go back to the king. For he seeks to destroy the child. He wants to destroy him. And so they go and they begin this journey to Bethlehem. And the Bible says that the star was just above the house in which Jesus was in. And so understand that they went to the king looking for the king. And when they go back to following the star, they find the King of Kings. Now notice when they go in the house, there's three elements that they show forth. The first is that they worship. The second is that they gave. And then the third is that they obeyed. Let's look at the worship. Understand that the worship came first. So they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus before they did anything else. They did not come in telling them all about their problems. They did not come in praying and asking and petitioning God for anything. They didn't go in telling them all about it. They didn't go in telling them about their wives that weren't acting right. Didn't go in talking about their children and none of that stuff that they do. They simply went down and they bowed down and worshiped him. They worshiped him because he's highly exalted. Philippians puts it through it. He said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Listen here, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So they bowed down and they worshiped him. I want to challenge you this Christmas morning that before you get up and go running to the tree, before you get up going and opening up packages, before you even call up loved ones and wishing them a Merry Christmas or sending out your text messages, I challenge you to spend some time worshiping God on Christmas morning. Spend some time giving him glory for all that he's done. Spend some time thanking him that you're still here, even in the midst of this pandemic. Thank him that you are always, he's always been in your corner, always looked out for you. Spend some time thanking him. Spend some time worshiping him because he's worthy to be praised. So they were first in their worship, but then they were focused in their worship. For the Bible declares that Mary and the child was there, but the text said that they worshiped him. They focused on Jesus. Many of different religions out there focused on Mary, have elevated her to a place right alongside Jesus. But these wise men were wise enough to know that it was really about Jesus. It had absolutely nothing to do about Mary, Joseph, or anyone else in that house. They focused on worshiping him. Don't you get fooled by the distractions that are in this world today. We need to focus on worshiping Jesus. One of the biggest things that Satan comes with is he comes with his distractions, want to distract you. Nowadays, Christmas, we have the distraction of Santa Claus. We have the distraction of the Christmas tree. We have the distraction of presents and gift giving. Those are all distractions. But when we focus on him, when we focus on Jesus, when we worship Jesus, then we're in a good place. Why? Because we're before the King. And when you're in the King's presence, you have to act like you're in the King's presence. You ought to talk like you're in the King's presence. You ought to worship like you're in the King's presence. Being in the King's presence is a privilege. Being in the King's presence comes by his grace. Did you not know that that some king, you have to get permission just to come before the King? And then once you get before the King, you got to get permission just to speak. But we come before the King of Kings, sometimes so casually. Sometimes we come before the King and we don't give him the respect and the honor that he rightfully deserves. It does not change the fact that he's still the King of Kings. And he's gracious. He's loving. He's compassionate. But he's still the King. And we should never forget that. He's still the King. Worship him. Leave the distractions alone. Second element is that they gave gifts. The text said that they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And understand that Joseph and Mary had perhaps spent their last dime getting to Bethlehem. They were impoverished. But understand this, that God knows how to provide. God knows how to show up when men run out on you. God knows how to show up when there's no room for you in the inn. God will give you a place and will make provisions for you. And that's what this did. This made provisions for them. But understand, these gifts were still gifts that were fit for a king. Because gold is always good in the king's chest. Because with gold, kings can then begin to do building projects. They can begin to do conquest and wage war with the gold. So maybe one of the wise men gave the gold because he was the king. The second one gave frankincense. Frankincense was an instrument of worship. It was an incense. So that tells me that the king is a worshiper. Much in the same way we should be worshipers. Sweet-smelling fragrance going up unto the Lord. That's our praise. That's what we give to God in praise. What kind of odor are we sending up to God? Is it a sweet-smelling savor? Is it something that stinks in the nostril of God? Gave him incense. And then there's myrrh. Myrrh was a chemical that was used for embalming. Myrrh represented suffering. This king would be a suffering king. This is a king that would give his life. This is a king that would struggle against the religious leaders of that day. This is a king that would be beaten and taken to a cross outside of Jerusalem. This is a king that would suffer some. This was not a walk in the park for Jesus. Jesus understood this. And so this was in preparation for his death. And so they gave gifts. But what are we giving to Jesus? I mean, if we're celebrating his birth and his birthday, what is the gift that you're giving to him? I challenge you to find your gift, to find the one thing that God has blessed you with. And I challenge you to offer it back to him. I challenge you to give it back to him, to offer it, and to render it in his service. If you don't have a gift, there's always the gift of helping somebody. How about we exercise that gift? How about we give that gift back? I challenge you, find someone you can help this season. Find someone you can be a blessing to this season. And give it back to God. We all have gifts that we can give. You pay your tithes, you pay your offering. That's good, that's wonderful. But try and give something spiritual back to God as well. Give him back your service. Give him your time, your talent, and your treasure. But give him something spiritual as well. Give the gift of love. That's a good gift to give. That's a good gift to give year round. Give the gift of love, compassion, long suffering. There's 9 of them. We can give these gifts back to God. These wise men understood that. They understood you don't come before the king without giving a gift. You don't come before the king's presence without bringing something. You don't come in empty-handed. They came giving gifts, bearing gifts. And then we see that they were obedient. For they received the dream, not to go back to the king. Because the king desired to destroy the child. Understand that Satan has always had an intent to kill you dead. That's what he desires. That's what he wants to do. That's what happened all the way back in the garden. Because God told them how they might have life. But Satan came and gave them death because of their disobedience. So my pledge today is that I'm going to live an act of obedience, an obedient life. I'm going to give God everything that he's given to me. I'm going to not do the things that he's told me not to do. There's some places that we've been going that he said don't go. We got the king. We're in the presence of the King. And the King understands your every hurt. The King understands that Mama's not here this year. The King understands that Daddy's not here this year. The King is there. He was born of a virgin. Christ fulfilled every prophecy that he had to fulfill. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea to a Virgin Mary. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. At the age of 13, he came teaching in the temples. And at the age of 30, he began his ministry. A ministry that would be difficult. A ministry that would be met with much opposition. For the Bible said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The very people he came to save, that he came to govern, didn't want to listen to him and did not regard him. Yes, he came. He is the King of kings. And he walked and lived as a king. Just not a king in this world. They did not receive him. They marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall after they had arrested him. They had arrested him and took him to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate questioned him about whether or not he is the King of the Jews. Jesus simply said, "Thou sayest I am." Yes, Pontius Pilate said that I find no fault in this man. But it was the same people that he came to save. That, yeah, that we have no king other than Caesar. We reject his kingship and we accept Caesar's kingship. Yes, they took him to Calvary's cross. As a matter of fact, they dressed him as a king. They put a purple robe on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Don't you see the king? He's marching on up to Calvary's cross. Yes, he is a king. As a matter of fact, just like he was born King of the Jews, Pontius Pilate put a plate over him and said, "The King of the Jews, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews." And there they nailed him on that cross. They nailed his hands, they nailed his feet. And he died that day, hung his hands in the locks of his shoulders. He died for you and he died for me. Why? Because he is the king. He gave up the ghost, died, he was buried. And on the third day, he rose with all power in his hand. Victorious power. Why? Because he is the king. Take me to the king. I tell you, I want to be in the king's presence. Yes, Lord. The psalmist put it like this. Psalm 24, he said, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the world they that dwell therein. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord?" It's Jesus. "Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He hath received the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. And this is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, even you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Jesus is that King of glory. He's going to come back again. He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. He's making intercession for you and I. But understand the fact that he is going to come back and he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. He is going to reign for 1,000 years on this earth, and we shall reign with him because why? We have accepted him by faith. He is the King of glory. And we thank God for him. We thank God for his life. We thank God for his death. But most of all, we thank God for his resurrection. Amen and thank God. God bless you. The door to the church is open. If you don't know Christ,
we hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.